Matthew chapter 6, we are going to continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. We got three verses tonight we want to look at. I want to read verses 22, 23, and 24 of chapter 6 of Matthew. It still absolutely astounds me when I think that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, came down from heaven to be a preacher. I'll never get over that. He came to be a preacher. Before he gave himself, he preached. He was a preacher. That's why God sent him to preach. And he came to preach the gospel. And he came to preach to his church. And this is who he's preaching to here. In this Sermon on the Mount, he's preaching to his disciples, his people. And verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think verses 22 and 23, our Lord tells us here about the perception of the eye. I think he's talking about truly perceiving the meaning of his message that he just preached to us here in verses 19 and verse 20 concerning earthly treasures, temporal treasures, as opposed to the heavenly and eternal treasure. And you and I have we been able to? Do we perceive what the Lord Jesus is telling us here in the message that we looked at last week about how temporal these earthly treasures are? I tell you, one of the most difficult things to lay hold of and retain is to realize that we're going to leave everything. To live to something that we've never seen. Live to heaven. Live to heavenly treasures. Because it's things we don't see. We see this life. We live in this life. And so we're so apt to whatever these treasures are. We looked last week. It's not just, we can't limit earthly treasures to just wealth. We can't do that. It's whatever appeals to us, whatever we want to lay up here in this life. And do we understand that? The verses tonight is going back to these two verses we looked at last week. And do we really see what the Lord Jesus is saying? It's difficult to see that, isn't it? It's easy to see the earthly treasures, but it's difficult to say, I'm going to lay up treasures in heaven. That's my aim. That's my goal for that. I think that's what he's saying. And here in verse 24, I think do we see what Christ is saying in verse 24? No man can serve two masters. We can serve many masters. Many. We can serve many. If he would have stopped there and said, you can't serve many, that would have been a mystery to us. But this key word in this verse is master. We can't serve but one master. Somebody has to be the master, don't they? If we had two masters that were in almost unanimous agreement on everything, there'd still come that point where you'd have to choose the master. Because there's that controversy, there's that division, and then you can't serve but one master. And the masters that we serve will not allow us to serve another master. If you serve God, if He's your master, then the world's not your master. If God is our master, self cannot be our master. Satan cannot be our master. See what he's saying? You can only serve one master. And you know something? That's a very difficult thing to understand, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing to understand. There's two problems that this unsaved world has. And it's these here. The majority don't see or understand or even care about these things. They're not concerned about heaven, except just going there when they die. But they're not concerned about serving God. They're not concerned about who their master really is. They're not concerned about laying up treasure. They live to this life. That's one of the things, that's one of the problems that every lost person has. He lives to himself. He lives to this present world. And he'll die there. He'll die there. He'll hoard up whatever treasures he can, whatever they are, and he'll live to those things. And if God in sovereign mercy don't convert him, he'll die and he'll lose all of those treasures. Why does he do that? That's all he knows. He loves this present life. He loves himself. He loves these treasures. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love what? Darkness. And what is that darkness? It's this world. It's these treasures. It's what men live to. You remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16? He lived to these things. That's all he thought about, was his treasures. He called them his treasures. He called them his good things. And when he died, he left everything. He left everything. And in hell, when he lifted up his eyes and begged for one drop of water, Abraham says, "Son, remember in your lifetime, what did you seek after? You seeked after your clothes. You sought after your house and your barns and your goods. And you called them your good things. And now you've died and you've left them." That's one of the problems with men, isn't it? Wherever you go that men are lost, where's their mind at? This world. It's this world. That's all they think about. Why isn't this place full tonight? We came down. Joe and I just came down. I often see this. I don't know why this is. I don't know why those that runs these sports complex and these sports games, why it's always on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. And we came down and just about every field there's three big fields. I guess all of them were full when we came down there. Where's their mind at? Is it on heaven? Is it on treasures of heaven? No, it's on games. It's on sports. And that's the problem that men have. The second thing that men, unconverted men, have problems with, they actually think, and here is more dangerous than even the first group of people, there are those who actually think you can mix these things. You can combine them together. You can lay up treasures in heaven, and at the same time, you can lay up treasures on this earth. Your heart can be divided. It can be in two different places. On earth, you can love the things of the world, and you can love God and the things of God. They got a way of saying that these things mix. I heard one man preaching on the radio not long ago, and he was talking about Lazarus the beggar. And he said one of the reasons that all that man had was crumbs to eat, because that's all he desired. That it was God's will for him to be rich, just like the rich man was. But the reason he didn't get riches was that's all he desired. He desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. So that's all God gave him. And he went on to say that Christians should desire and pray and seek after the treasures of this world. There's nothing wrong with that. That we can have both. I tell you, this group is more dangerous than the first group. You know where the first group stands. They're in this world, they're of this world, and you can see that. But some of these others stand in the pulpit. They profess this light. We have figured out how to have earthly treasures and hang on to them and love them and then have heaven at last. We figured that out. They figured out more than the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to tell us how it is. And in this sense, this second group is in greater darkness than the first group. There's no doubt what the first group is seeking. But the second group thinks truly that you can set your heart upon and obtain both earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. They can love this world and they can love God. They can love things, seek after them, and they can love God and seek after those. And many of them are very enthusiastic about it. They're very enthusiastic about it. They tell everybody. They tell the world about, you can do this. This is God's will for you to do this. I think that's why the Lord Jesus goes ahead here in verse 23 and gives this verse. If your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? They figured out how to mix these two up. They profess a light, don't they? We've learned how to do it. Let us tell you how to do it. But you know what the Lord Jesus says about the light that they profess? It's darkness. They haven't figured it out, brothers and sisters. No matter how much they profess that these things will mix, they will not mix with it. If any man loves the world, he's cleaving to this world, and that's where his treasures are. The love of the Father is not in him. They will not mix. They cannot mix. Their light that they have is but darkness. And you know something? They've created it themselves. It's not a light that they've got from the Word of God. It's not a light they've got from the Holy Spirit. But it's sparks that they've created themselves. And they walk in the light of those sparks. Look over in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Here's what the Holy Spirit tells us about these fellows, and we see them today, but this is a warning. This is a warning to the Lord's church, and this is the warning to those who promote this health and wealth gospel. This is a severe rebuke to them as they preach this, that these things will mix up, they'll join together. Look here. What Isaiah said about them by the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 50. And look here in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Well, I tell you, sometimes we're there, aren't we? Sometimes we feel like all light's gone. And our understanding is so darkened. And we open the Bible and it seems dark. And we pray and that seems dark. Sometimes the Lord tries His people and they seem in their own apprehensions that they're walking in darkness. Here's what the remedy is for that. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll give you light. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. Look what He says to these other fellows that created their own light. Verse 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. So what do we say about these people who say these things will mix? The world will mix. It'll mix with God. You can lay up treasure on earth, treasure up. These things are mixed. He said, that's the light that you profess, but you've kindled that fire yourself. And you're walking in the light of the fire that you're kindled. It's amazing how deceitful the treasures of this world are, isn't it? They're so deceitful because the heart's deceitful and because sin is so deceitful. Paul had men in his day who coveted earthly riches, and they excused that by convincing themselves that gain was godliness. He had them back in his day too. They said, Paul, listen, we've got this light. We found out a way to lay up these treasures, to love the things of this world and to pray to that end and go after them and get them. And gain is godliness. And here's Paul's answer to those men. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, you've got little or a lot. Godliness with contentment, if you've got Christ and content with Him. If you've got Christ and you're trusting your Father's heavenly providence to provide for you, and you're content with that, that's godliness. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, therefore, let us be content. For they that will be rich, now listen to this, they that will be rich, they that set their heart on it, they that labor for it, it's first in their life. They fall into a temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction. Those men were saying gain is godliness. And Paul said it's a forerunner of a fall and destruction. And Solomon is very plain about it in Proverbs 28 and verse 22. Listen to this. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. That reminds us so much of our text, doesn't it? And that evil eye manifests itself in lusting for riches, being coveted for the things of this world. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. Well, we figured out how to do it. Well, you probably think that. You probably think that. But the life that you have is a fire that you kindled yourself. You've created it, and it's darkness. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and knows not where he goes because darkness has blinded his eyes. There's no doubt that death for unconverted people will bring a tremendous shock, that awful awakening. But how much more so to those who have kindled their own fire and have confidence that they're walking in the light when it's a light they've kindled themselves. That's what the Lord is warning us about here. If the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? The Lord Jesus in chapter 7, He was ready to finish this Sermon on the Mount, and He brought it out like this. He said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast to the fire. You shall know them by their fruits. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Is that a title to heaven? Is that what's going to entitle me to get into heaven? Is that the plea that I'm going to have? That's what these use, that plea. We preached, and we've done it in your name. Let us in. Then they go further than that. We've cast out devils in your name. Does that merit heaven? And then they went on to say, we've done many wonderful works. And the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Brothers and sisters, what was wrong with these people? They were shocked. They got up to heaven and they were shocked that the Lord didn't let them in. Why were they so shocked? Because they were so certain of it. They had created this light. And the light said, I'm a preacher. The light said, I'm doing all these good things. The light said, I've got power over devils. Surely I'm going there. And what a shock it was when they got up to heaven and they were rejected. And what was the cause of this? It was this evil eye. They had this evil eye. The light that was in them was darkness. And this same principle here can be applied to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. This idea that you can serve two masters is very prominent in our day, isn't it? It's very prominent in our day. You see it not only in the professing church. We see it. It's probably more evident today with politicians than I've ever seen it in my life. politicians, every one of them almost anymore. They don't hesitate to tell you, you know, that they love God, they believe in God, and they'll go to church maybe once or twice a month. They'll go to Mass, and then they go to their jobs, and God has nothing to do with them. They profess on Sunday morning on occasions, He's my master. But then the rest of the week, they change masters. Politics is their master. Lying is their master. Lusting is their master. And yet they think, boy, I figured out how to do this. They fit in the same category these others did. They're walking in a fire that they kindled themselves. And they'll be sadly surprised when they stand yonder at the day of judgment and the Lord says, I don't know you. Boy, our Lord is a very, very blunt preacher, isn't he? And that's why sometimes as I've been studying this the last few months that we've been studying on it, I'm telling you, sometimes it just wrings my heart out. I really thought today, I'm going to call everybody, I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to stay in my office and just stay out here and sob or something. Because this message, it was ringing me out just to study on it. And it's the way He's so blunt. He's so blunt. There's no gray areas in our Lord's preaching. You cannot serve two masters. Stop thinking that you can. You cannot. I'm the master and I'm telling you, you can't serve me and somebody else. You can't do it. There's no gray areas. He said, if you have another master besides me, besides God, then you hate God. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? Well, I don't hate God. I love you. I just need to love you more. No, if you have another master, he said, you hate God. Don't create these sparks and walk in the light of those sparks. Here's the light. Here's the light. If God is your master and you cleave to Him as He's revealed in His Word, then you hate all other masters. And that's the way it is, isn't it? That's how blunt that He is. If God is your master, you will desire Him. You'll fear Him. You'll love Him. And you'll obey Him. If God isn't your master, you won't. That's what He's telling. And for a man to think otherwise is only to prove the light he professes is only darkness. It's just darkness. There's just two kinds of people in this world, really, brothers and sisters. And this is what the Lord's narrowing it down to. This is why He's going to tell us here in a few weeks. Straight is the gate and narrows the way. He narrows it down to these two. One, this narrow way that leads to life. Those people who have God as their master, they bow to Him, they worship Him, they believe Him, and they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. That's those. And then you got everybody else. Got everybody else. It's not about talk, is it? It's about reality. You cannot serve God and man. We have those today who profess to know the Lord. We have some of them who profess to believe the doctrines of grace. And yet their thoughts are their own. It doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit says in the Word. It doesn't matter that the Holy Spirit says whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good. Think upon these things. They think upon whatever they're pleased to think upon. They can come and go in this world as they please. And listen, they'll never consult God as to the manner in which they are to live and conduct themselves. Is God their master? Their lives are indicative of those who can live serving another master and profess God is their master. But it can't be. It can't be. That's an evil lie. An evil lie is the cause of that. Brothers and sisters, isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a blessing indeed to have a single eye? Just an eye for the Lord Jesus Christ? An eye for His Word? To look at this message here that we're looking at, and when He talks about these things that won't mix, that we don't have to deceive ourselves about these things, that we can say, Lord, open my eyes. Show me the truth. And give me grace to follow You, to believe You. Give me grace to perceive what it means to not lay up treasures in this world, but in that world to come. Give me eyes to see that I cannot have two masters. I tell you, brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is to have that attitude. That's what He's talking about here. An eye that is single. It just looks right on, Solomon said. Those that have that eye, they just look right straight in front of them. Oh Lord, let me see what You're telling me in this passage. Let my thinking be right. Let my attitude be right. Let me believe to the point that my mind is filled with light. Light. Here's what the Scripture says in so many different places. Listen to these places. Talking about the eye being single. So many places in the Bible it talks about our eyes looking. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. I'm looking. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Let your eyes look that way. David said, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. The statutes of the Lord are good, enlightening the eyes. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is before mine eyes. My eyes are ever towards the Lord. Boy, that's single, isn't it? That's what we mean by a single eye. My eye, my mind, my thoughts, my affections, my will. My mind is ever towards the Lord. And that's what the Lord is telling us here. This evil eye is mentioned four times in the Gospels. Four times it's mentioned. It's mentioned in Mark 7, Matthew 20, Luke 11, and here in chapter 6. And here's what they teach in those places. You can mark it down and look at it later if you'd like to. Mark chapter 7, he tells us that this evil eye is what we come into the world with. It's part of our nature. That's why we have so much trouble with it. From within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, and blasphemy, and pride, and foolishness. Would you think that such a clob of sin could occupy a human heart? Brother Scott Richard used to say the natural heart is a manufacturing plant. And all it does is manufacture sin. And we come into this world with an evil eye. We not only will live to this world and live to the things of this world, we'll start making excuses about it. And we'll deceive our own selves. And the Lord has to send this light, this glorious light, into our hearts and overwhelm the darkness of our nature. Secondly, this evil eye is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 20, where those were complaining against the Lord of His sovereign right to do as He will with His own. You remember Matthew chapter 20. The Lord was telling about the parable about the man who owned a vineyard. He went out and hired people early in the morning to go work in his vineyard. Then a few hours later, he went and hired some more. He said, I'll pay you a penny a day.
A few hours later, he went hard some more and said, I'll pay you a penny a day. And when there was only 1 hour left to work, he went hard some more and said, you go work in my vineyard, I'll give you a penny a day. When he come to pay them all that evening, those that had worked all day said, that's not right. It's not right for you to do us that. You're giving them the same as you're giving us. We born the heat of the day. And here's what the Lord Jesus said about their statement. He said, sir, I do you no harm. Did I not agree with you for a penny a day? Yeah, you did. Is your eye evil because I am good? Do not I have the right to do with my own what I will? What would make anybody say, Lord, that's not fair? That the Lord Jesus Christ has did something that's wrong, that's unjust. That's an evil eye, isn't it? I don't care where you apply that to. You see a baby that's born into this world and it don't have any eyes, he can't talk and he can't hear. You say, boy, God's done something bad there. That's wrong. If he's a good God, why would he do that? Does he have a right to do that? Who maketh the dumb? Who maketh the hearing? Who makes the seeing? Do not I the Lord? We're his creatures, brothers and sisters, and he can do what he will with his own without ever being charged of wrongdoing. God is a sovereign God, he's a just God, and he's a good God. And to say otherwise simply says, I've got an evil eye. He ought to do things the way I want them done. Thirdly, in Luke chapter 11, this evil eye is associated with Christ and his resurrection. The Jews came to the Lord Jesus there in that chapter, and they said, show us a sign. We want to see a sign from you. And he said, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. And it's amazing, as I was reading that the other day, the context of that, it said there was huge crowds came to him. He saw huge crowds. And he turned and said unto them, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. Man alive. He did that several times. It's almost like he says, if you can go away, if my preaching's going to drive you away, then get out of here. I'm not looking for crowds. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah came out of that whale's belly, and he was a sign to Nineveh. It's a resurrection. That man went down to the bottom of the mountains in a whale's belly. The Lord Jesus raised the third day, and he said, that's the sign you're going to get. That's the only sign. If you don't believe that, I'll tell you why. You've got an evil eye. Luke chapter 11, that's what he told us. Your eye is evil. You're walking in your own light that you've created from your little sparks. And boy, that's what those Pharisees and scribes did. He preached to them about sin. Now, oh, we see. We see. We can see. He said, oh, you see? You really see? Your sin remains. Because your eyesight is just the light of your filthy, wicked heart. It's an evil eye. It's what it is. That's a scary thing, isn't it? That's a scary thing. And then, well, you can read that. You can read that for yourself. I'm very interested. I thought today as I was thinking about this of Herbert W. Armstrong, Wayne. Wayne and Colleen sat under his ministry for a long time, and I think it's something that I sat under his ministry through my dad, who was a Baptist preacher. All the time I was growing up, every time Herbert W. Armstrong came on the radio, we had to sit and listen to it. The World Tomorrow, Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. I never will forget that. And my dad was a Baptist preacher and just ate that up. And boy, he professed great light. He thought he was the smartest man in the world. Didn't you tell me one time, Wayne, that he made the statement that he's going to be Paul's right-hand man in heaven? Can you believe that? Going to be Paul. That's light, boy. And he spread that light all around the world. I see. Walking by light, I see. I heard him say one time, he said, "You think you're born again?" He said, "Pinch yourself. You're not born again. Nobody's going to be born again until they get to heaven." Well, he wouldn't know, would he? But this is the light that he professed. I see. And that man, as far as we know, is in hell today. He's in hell today. That's sad, isn't it? But while he was here, boy, he bragged about having this light. Didn't know Christ, didn't know the gospel, didn't know himself to be a sinner. Just like the Jews of old, they missed the Lord Jesus Christ, they missed salvation because they said, "We've got light. We've never been in darkness, we've got light." And they lost everything they had, the treasures, and they lost their souls as well. Everything. And then the fourth place it's mentioned is here in our text in chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. This evil eye that's associated with the treasures of heaven as opposed to the treasures of this world. And may God give us single eyes. May the Holy Ghost bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and flood our hearts, our mind, with such light, brothers and sisters, that we'll walk in that light. That Christ will be everything. And serving Him will be everything. And that world to come will be everything to us. That's my prayer tonight. Father, we thank You for this study of Your Word. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming down from heaven and preaching such a message. Lord, we tremble. And I imagine if we'd have been here, Lord, when we heard these words, we'd be as these men were, these women, as they heard You. They were astounded. They were astounded at Your authority when You preached, how their hearts were shut up. How they were pressed on every side. Lord, press us that way. Don't let us profess a light that we've created ourselves. Oh, be our light. Let Your Word be our light. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. We thank You, Lord, for this church. We thank You for these dear people that come here and desire to be here to hear Your Word. Bless us as we go home. Bless us in our homes. Visit us, Lord. Lord, our sovereign Lord, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, visit our homes. Visit us in the night seasons in our homes. For Your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Anything?